333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marino reminds all parents that children in school meet new friends and experience new situations, some of which involve drugs or alcohol. Young people have now found new drugs called crystal meth and ecstasy. These are very dangerous and deadly. So parents, educate yourself about these and other drugs and talk to your children. Don't let things like curiosity and peer pressure influence your child's life. This message was courtesy of Cassie and Derek at Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marino, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor William Grady, and we're going to be talking about his book, How Satan Turned America Against God. And it's a very intriguing book, but really we have a problem in America. America once was, for all intents and purposes, a Christian nation founded by Christians with the idea of creating a better world here. Why the Christian influence was strong, and after the certainly the first great awakening and the second great awakening, why nobody questioned America was a Christian nation. And yet recently our president has said, we're not a Christian nation. A man who was raised in Muslim homes became the president of the United States, and he reflects, of course, a group of people who have a different world view. And you look and see America, the greatest purveyor of pornography. It's one of a few major and growing exports is pornography, our vile television programming that stresses sex and violence. And yes, we are, America's influence is changing the world, but not necessarily for the better. And so, Pastor William Grady, how did this whole thing come about?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's nice to be on your program again.
It's good to have you, and I want you to just go ahead and talk, and you pick up the ball and run with it.
Well, I don't know everything. I know a few things. I like that old Pennsylvania Dutch expression, too soon old, too late smart.
Right.
You're much older than myself and seen much more of the world than I have. About the time we learn a few things, we don't have any energy left to do much about it. So we just pass along whatever tidbits we think the Lord has let us see. I would say my unique input is that I'm a preacher first and foremost, and I've just happened to write a few books on subjects that the Bible, you know, deals with. And certainly the events of the world can be traced to all types of teachings in the Word of God. And the condition of our country now is very easy to discern. In my opinion, as a preacher, based on what I believe I could prove in a court, using the Bible as my textbook, I would say, and of course these conversations are not prepared or planned ahead of time, so we're speaking off the cuff, but the Word of God says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. So, as you said, America was founded by Christian people. And technically, it was. You and I would agree that it wasn't a Christian nation legally, as a secular, as a religious state of in Europe. It was a secular state. You know, anybody can believe anything they want here, as we know. And that's not the case in religious states. That's all you have to do is go to any Muslim country to find that out. But the majority of the people that founded the country were Christians, and they were built on Christian principles. It's all over our coins, our statues, and all of that. But the point is, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I think if a person out there who wants to consider himself a Christian or does consider himself a Christian wants a Christian answer to what's going on, you'll find the answer in 2 Timothy 4:3. Chapter 3 says, "This thou knowest, that in the last days perilous times shall come," and the whole chapter deals with signs to look for the end days. One of them is traitors, so that certainly plays into conspiracy events. But in 2 Timothy 4:3 it says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." And the "they" in that verse is not talking about secular people or unconverted people, it's talking about Christian people. Because secular people could not endure sound doctrine and then turn it off one day like a switch. Only people who know the Word of God and are saved people can do that. So in my opinion, the great cause for the collapse of our culture and our freedoms and everything that we hold dear is a result of Christian people having apostatized, as the Scripture said it would be. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The day of the Lord shall not come except there first be a falling away." Goes on and on. So when saved people begin to throw away their spiritual habits and begin to, you know, chase after what the world has to offer them in a modernized society, I often say America's tombstone will read bells and whistles. And saved people are just as interested in trinkets now and play and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God and all these things in 2 Timothy 3. And once they do that, the salt loses its savor, and it shall be good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. And I believe that is exactly why we're in the condition we're in. The Christian people have gone south. The world has reacted as David was told by Nathan the prophet, "Thou hast given the enemies of Israel opportunity to blaspheme by your open adultery and your sins." And now the world mocks us because of, you know, the Tammy Baker's air-conditioned doghouse, I guess, kind of started things off 20 years ago. And here we are.
Well, it's really such a tragedy that, you know, we have had so many religious leaders who did not really adhere to the faith, who used Christianity to advance their air-conditioned doghouses, or use the contributions of the people within their sphere of influence to aggrandize themselves and live on high living standards, you know, at the expense of the people rather than serving the Lord. And Cindy, how did this whole thing come about? Why aren't our ministers speaking out against what's going on? Because the ministers, you know, who we look to for leadership or speaking out, our country wouldn't be in the mess it is today.
Well, you're very right. You know, you're very right. When you go to Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, you have seven churches listed there from Ephesus up to Laodicea. And I believe, as many Bible teachers do, that those seven churches, representing the church age of running now over 2,000 years, each of those letters represents a period of church history in consecutive order. It's a very interesting study. It's too long to go into now. But the seventh church is the church of Laodicea. And that is understood to be a graphic picture of Christianity in the last days of the church age. And one of the traits it points out, it says,
why don't you hang on there?
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a minute to talk about the church for Laodicea.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life. Thanks to the people at Good Life International, along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
As parents, we're entrusted with a tremendous responsibility to raise and educate our children. This school year, promise yourself that you will get more involved with your child's school. Join the PTA, volunteer for special events, or even try to help with homework. Parents, show your children that school is cool and drugs are for fools. That's from Restore Health and Counseling, serving the Northeast Denver area with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adults and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehab. Visit Restore Health Counseling at 4705 Paris Street in Denver, or visit us online at rhctherapy.com or inquire by calling 303-373-1188.
Dan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is William Grady. We're talking about his book, How Satan Turned America Against God. And I'd ask the question, why aren't our ministers sounding the alarm about what's going on? I mean, if the ministers of this country were certainly week after week talking to their parishioners and telling them about what's happening and focusing their attention on that, why we wouldn't be in the mess we are today, because certainly we're not going to get the truth from the controlled media, but certainly if the ministers are bringing out the truth, we could circumvent what's going on. And you began talking about the Church of Laodicea, so go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, in Revelation 3, in the letter to the Laodicean church, you have a unique description of end-day Christianity in America. At least, it's the church that makes God vomit, for instance. I know thy work, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And this church makes God so sick, he vomits them out of his mouth, according to the Word of God. But the key character trait of the Church of Laodicea, which is the key character trait of post-World War II America and current America, is in the next verse, in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, Jesus said over in Matthew, no man can serve two masters. You know, you serve one and reject the other one. And so once a you cannot serve God and mammon, the Lord said. So in an age when materialism is rampant, and it's never been in our country as it began after World War II, it's here now, and our forefathers never had that temptation as modern Americans have it, and we have chosen to reach out for it. And American people have chosen to pursue material pleasures, and they cannot serve God once they make money and the getting of money and what money can buy their supreme priority in life. Well, so the people, what I've just described, are the parishioners of these ministers that you asked me about. Well, the minister is just as security-minded as the parishioner. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So one day, church members and pastors alike are going to turn off sound doctrine, and it's basically they're just going to pursue their own pleasure. 2 Timothy 3 and 4 have all the answers. For the time will come, this thou knowest, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and then 17 or 18 things are listed. The very first one listed, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that goes beyond the sodomites. That goes on to good old Bible-believing, professing Christian people that love themselves now more than God. They want their own pleasure. And so they can, here's the problem. Once they sell out to material things, they can no longer submit to divine authority. No man can serve two masters. So they turn off authoritative ministries. They don't want Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, preach it, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers. Pastors are supposed to teach the Bible, but they're all supposed to preach the Bible as well. And end-day modern apostate Christians do not want preaching anymore, because that's, old preacher told me one time, the illustration between preaching and teaching is, teaching is like being at a cafeteria. Go along, take what you want, and leave what you don't want. Preaching is the chow hall in the army where they just fling it at you and take what you get. End-day Christians can't fit under authoritative ministries. They heap to themselves nonstop teachers with the seminars 24/7. No more old-fashioned preaching telling them what God says, thus saith the Lord. And so the preachers basically then, in answer to your question, are just hirelings, compromisers now, giving the people what they want to hear and not giving them ultimatums because they want their paycheck like anybody else.
Well, you know, at one time, why the minister used to tell us we're all sinners saved by grace and that's why we need a Savior, but sin doesn't sell very well in the pulpit today. We don't like to be told that we're sinners.
No, we don't. And God's going to lose a whole lot of sleep over it, too. He's just going to go rolling right along. And that's why I mentioned in our last program that I was saved over the radio ministry of a church in Philadelphia. So, excuse me, I am very partial to what you're trying to do. You have a lot of people out there listening. But as I said on the last broadcast, it isn't going to do any good if you're a patriot, if you have no belief in the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. John Birch was Robert Welch was either an atheist or an agnostic, depending on who you talk to. He's in hell right now with Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and all the communist gurus that he opposed. I mean, if he died without Christ, he went to the same hell they went to. People don't want to hear that today. But the Lord doesn't. He doesn't worry about stuff like that. Paul told Timothy and all preachers, preach the word. And that's what some of us are still trying to do. I'll give you a good illustration, Dr. Stan. I got a nice letter in the mail just yesterday from Judge Roy Moore in Alabama. A friend of mine down there is his next-door neighbor, and he recently delivered my three books to Judge Moore. And I got a nice letter back from him yesterday. But in the letter I wrote him, I said, here's the strangest way to put this. You asked me on the last broadcast what Bible I use, and I use the King James Bible, which is the Bible that America was built on over 200 years, as a single authority. Everybody in the church pew reading out of the same Bible, following one singular authority. And now all the modern Bibles have come on the scene, and Judge Moore and down south and all the bigger churches down there, modern churches, they use all different versions of the Bible. And I said in a letter to Judge Moore, if you would, you know, basically implying if you would take the Bibles out of the pews of the churches that you're going to and go to Exodus 20 and read the wording of the Ten Commandments in the modern versions of the Bible in today's churches, you'll find they don't match the text that's on your King James, your Ten Commandment memorial that was taken out of your courthouse, which is the King James text, thou shalt not, thou shalt, etc. And so the conclusion is, long before the Ten Commandments were taken out of the courthouses, they were taken out of the church houses. People can't see that stuff. They're not spiritual enough to appreciate that. And you reject God and he'll reject you, and this is what's going on in America, and the Christians are at fault, and it's going to get worse because evil men are going to wax worse and worse. And so it's going to be a remnant ministry as we get to the end of this thing, and God's people are going to have to be serious about him and his word, and because he's the only hope we have to get through what's coming.
You're absolutely right. I think it's exciting, though, that Judge Roy Moore is going to be running for governor of Alabama. We've got a number of great, you know, Christian people not afraid to profess their Christian beliefs and sincere in them. Lots of people profess their Christian beliefs, but they really don't believe in them. They say what you want to hear, you know, when they're running for political office. But I think we have a lot of sincere people running for office, and I think that's important. But until we change the hearts of men, people acknowledge that they need God, that we cannot have a Christian society, where the government is Christian, but as James Madison had said so well, our society was made for a moral and religious people, and it's what the people are, not what the government is, that's important. And unless we have a great revival in America, and people turn back to God, and we have politicians who fear God, nothing's going to change.
You're right about that.
Well, anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about the theme of your book? Because, of course, it's a great book, but, of course, it points out these things, but it points out a great deal about what's going on. So how did you happen to write the book? What is basically are you trying to tell the American people?
Well, I'm trying to... it is a book about contemporary events. It's basically the sequel to my second book was called What Hath God Wrought, A Biblical Interpretation of American History and How God Set the Country Up. And this is the sequel, What God Wrought, Satan Sought. There's an old expression down south preachers use, the devil's always looking for a spittoon. You know, and wherever God's working, that's where the devil will show up. I try to give the principles in my book as to how the country was turned against God, and my thesis for the book is that the country was set up. I mentioned in the last broadcast we're basically a Johnny Come Lately nation, 5,800 years into history, America shows up on the scene, and we're in primitive conditions. Men are still traveling no quicker than they can get by on the back of an animal, like Cain and Abel, on the back of a horse. Pony Express riders couldn't move any quicker. But shortly after America comes into existence, we have the railroads running. And then within 100 years of that, we are putting people on the moon. And all of that was prophesied in the book of Daniel. You have a lot of prophecy studies about wars and famines and earthquakes, but they missed two incredible signs in Daniel 12. Men shall be running to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So transportation and information, and you put those two together, you got the internet and the information highway, and we're obviously accelerating now into end day times at light speed, and all of this has just come about since America's arrival on the stage of nations. And so America must have some unique reason for being here, and our Statue of Liberty in New York has the words from Emma Lazarus, this Jewish lady who wrote a lot of beautiful poetry and articles, and she wrote, give us your poor and your tired and so forth. Those are her words. But in the Jewish Forward, the number one newspaper, Jewish newspaper in America, April 15, 2005, they had an article about her life, and they made an amazing statement about her belief about America. And it says, in her early work, Lazarus worried that the United States had no past and the Jews had no future. She came to resolve this dilemma by claiming that it was the singular destiny of the United States to secure the fate of the Jews. I find that very intriguing statement. And all I can tell you is, if America is the first nation in history of the world that has true religious liberty, this is the first place since the crucifixion of Christ that the Jews could land and have freedom of worship. They built their Toro synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island, second synagogue they built on American soil. Synagogue in New York City burned and was later rebuilt. The Matoro Synagogue is there today, still standing. Second Jewish congregation in America, 1650-ish, somewhere thereabouts. And also happens to be where John Clark, the Baptist minister, founded the first Baptist church in America, contrary to what folks think Roger Williams did. It was John Clark. He founded the community of Portsmouth, Rhode Island, on religious liberty. If you go to Portsmouth, Rhode Island today, there's a sign there put up by the city fathers on the city limits that says, "Welcome to Portsmouth, birthplace of American democracy." So freedom of conscience began with New Testament Christian people, not Protestants, not Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Anglicans. These were Baptist people that believed in full liberty of conscience. Baptist preachers were thrown in jails all over Virginia by Church of England ministers and magistrates for preaching without a license. And so the Baptists were the ones who fought for liberty. And the Jews came to that Rhode Island colony because of their freedom of worship. And today, if you go to Newport, you could look at their synagogue, stand at the front gate, look at it, and in the background is the church steeple from John Clark's Baptist Church, still functioning, oldest Baptist church in America, oldest Jewish synagogue in America, with an American flag flying on the property of the Toro Synagogue. It's all in one snapshot. I have it in my book, Pictures Worth a Thousand Words, as they say. And so, bottom line is, America became the first place where that Jew could get to and catch his breath. And then,
the fate of America was intertwined with the fate of the Jewish people. We'll be back, right back to this moment or two here at the American Freedom.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan? We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and duck tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
Well, I was down. back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor William Grady. We're talking about his book, How Satan Turned America Against God. Do I have the exact title down?
That's correct. How Satan Turned America Against God.
All right, fine. Well, before we go on then, this is the time when I want you to get out your website to tell people how to get this very well-written book.
Well, the book can be purchased through Barnes & Noble. It can be purchased from Amazon.com. Ingram Books is the largest distributor of books in the world. They carry it in their Christian division. Any normal Christian bookstore ought to be able to pull it up on an Internet search at the counter. Or it can be ordered directly through my website, which is GradyPublications.com, www.GradyPublications.com. There are three, my church address, my business address, the P.O. Box is on that website, P.O. Box 243, Swartz Creek, Michigan, P.O. Box 243, Swartz Creek, Michigan. The 810-630-1611 is the telephone number, 810-630-1611. And the website and the bookstores have access to three books I've written. The first book is Final Authority, A Christian's Guide to the King James Bible. That's a 400-page hardback book on the history and defense of the King James Bible. And then there's a 700-page history of America called What Hath God Wrought? A Biblical Interpretation of American History. And then there's the current book, which is a 1,000-page book, How Satan Turned America Against God, and it has 68 black-and-white photographs in it, as well as an extended appendix at the back.
Well, I think it's an interesting concept that, of course, the America's fate and America's course has been guided by the fact that we gave freedom to the Jewish people who, wherever they've been, you know, for the last 2,000 years, have been subject to persecution. I mean, there is growing anti-Semitism in the United States, and I witness this all the time, and there are some people within the Jewish faith who really are wicked and evil people, but certainly that doesn't detract from the fact that God chose the Jewish people for his purposes. Doesn't seem very fair. I don't understand why he did it, but of course that is what we're told, that's what the scriptures teach, and I believe it, and I believe that certainly as we read the papers today, we find out so much centers around what's going on in Jerusalem and what's going on in the Near East, and why is there so much more emphasis as far as current history on what's happening in Jerusalem and Israel's battle with its surrounding neighbors than they say would be what's going on in the Congo. I mean, here, you know, 5 million people have been systematically slaughtered over the last 20 years of war and violence, and yet, when was the last time we read about the Congo and what's going on in the Congo? But certainly, the Jewish people play an important part in what's happening in the Near East today. They play an important part in what's happening in America today. So, do you want to sort of develop this idea, because it's a rather unique concept, and of course, I believe it's true.
Well, it's not only true, but you could prove it in a court of law in a sense of pure evidence, and that is that not only was the United States the first culture and country where the Jewish people in their diaspora, they're wandering, they're fleeing for 2,000 years, were able to come and get a haven of rest. They were able to come here and catch their breath. But then, secondly, it became the launching pad for that Jew to get the support to get back to his own land in 1948, as you well know. Harry Truman, at 6:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 minutes after the State of Israel came into existence, Truman sent out that proclamation, which I have a photocopy of it from the Truman Library in my book, endorsing two sentences, endorsing the new State of Israel. So we became the first government to endorse the State of Israel 11 minutes after it came into existence. And, of course, we have been her number one source of support in every kind of imaginable manner. So we came into existence late in time, 5,800 years into existence of men on earth, and no sooner had that Jew arrived and gotten his synagogues going and gotten the protection he's never had anywhere else than America booms and prospers and becomes the superpower it has become, and modern society develops as a result of our prosperity, which certainly fits the formula where God promised Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. I mean, it's just as simple as the nose on our face. And then, as we were blessed, we gave that, you know, that that heads up and that, or that foot up to get that Jew back into his land, and now he's back there. And all history is going to focus on that Middle Eastern part of the world now. That's where it all started. The Garden of Eden was in Iraq, Mesopotamia, and we're right back to where we started, gone full circle. America's Christians are going to keep apostatizing. The secular people are going to keep on reacting and becoming more wicked. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it's going to culminate with that blessed hope that Christian people are so excited about, are the rapture, when God's going to take us out of here, and then he's going to go back and finish up things with that Jew. So we're living in the most unbelievably exciting times, and that's why it's very important for your listeners. It's okay to be worried about, it's okay to get water purifiers and look at gold prices. It's okay to do those things, but they better be second priority behind your being sure that you're saved. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone, and you're in that Bible and faithfully attending church and pursuing the will of God for your life in these last days. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the final analysis.
And I think it's really very interesting that, you know, there is growing anti-Semitism in America. And then, of course, I think things are going to get very bad here. And why in the world would any Jewish person want to leave the United States and go to Israel with all of its problems, you know, and facing war? And unless things were terribly bad here in the United States and they began to feel that they were unwelcome here, beginning to come under persecution. Certainly our government at the present time is doing everything they can to get Israel to give up land and make concession to their enemies, and who never will live in peace with Israel. And we, in many respects, are doing everything we can to undermine the integrity of the Jewish state. And you put this in the overall view, and I don't think God's going to be very happy with America, do you?
No, not at all. And it has to play out that way. You know, the Jew didn't want to go back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of, and he didn't want to go back after wandering for a couple of thousand years with the Balfour Declaration. And as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, in the last interview, World War One prepared the land for the Jew, and World War II prepared the Jew for the land.
That was your phrase, but I really loved it.
It was a quote from Bob Jones Sr., and I'll tell you something else, Dr. Stan. This Bible is too hot to handle for most people. Certainly for unsaved people, but even modern Christians.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor William Brady, and we'll be talking about his book, How State Turned America Against God.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning reminds drivers, when you see a school bus stop, there are probably children on foot nearby. Many may not have much experience crossing streets and watching for cars, so never pass. Not only is it the right and safe thing to do, it's the law. That was presented by A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning, the heating expert who can tell you if your last year's fuel bill was grossly out of line. And if it was, what repairs or replacements would offer you the greatest long-term savings? Call 303-659-1087. A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 East Long Peak Street in Brighton.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0333. 866-781-0343.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the America News Network, our guest is morning, William Grady. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Pastor Grady, why, give us a call at 877-254-7524. But this is a very provocative book, a very... almost fatalistic book, and yet, of course, our future is not in our hands. I wish it were. We're called to do our best to bring people to the Lord. We're called to, I think, to sound the alarm, and if God deems he's going to intervene, he's going to do it. If he doesn't, we're not going to talk him into it, that's for certain. But we are, I believe, called to be active in this world, but to recognize that we are subservient to an all-powerful God who does, of course, created the heavens and the earth, who has a plan, and that plan is being played out at this very time as we're seeing prophecies that were made thousands of years ago come to fulfillment in these exciting times and dangerous times and terrifying times in which we live. So what would your advice to the listener be?
Well, my advice to the listener would be, and I don't know everything, but what I would tell my congregation is, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've heard that many times. And if you read a verse in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, the Lord says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God's concern for people to fear him. But as I was saying before the break, in connection with this idea that people, the Bible's too hot to handle for Christian people, professing Christian people today. They can't handle what it says, much less lost people. And I'll give you the best illustration I can for that. Man's inhumanity to man. The Holocaust, probably the greatest illustration of that in history. You know, I visited Auschwitz death camp in 1971, when I was just 19, 20 years old, and I saw, you know, human stacks of hair 4 or 5 feet high, like hay, rooms full of toothpaste and little doll babies and artificial arms and legs, and it was a terrifying thing for me to see, to walk on the ground where 1 million people were gassed and burned in ovens, and we all know that that's the greatest illustration of man's inhumanity to man. But do you think the average Christian could handle the concept of who was behind that Holocaust? When those Jews were judged by the Babylonians, 6 times in the book of Jeremiah, God called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, I brought him in here to tear these Jews to pieces, pull them apart by horses, you know, burn them, kill them, take them off to captivity. And you go through the Old Testament, and God gave the Jew one warning after another that if they didn't do right, he was going to bring judgment on them. And rejecting their Messiah was the ultimate, his blood be upon us and our children, is what those Jews cried. And God said, you got a deal. But all that to say this, not only was, who was Hitler working for? Was he working for Satan? Or did God permit that? And was that a part of God's judgment on his own people, which he promised to bring about in history? And people can't see God that way. But if you ask for the scariest verse in the Bible, I mean, the scariest verse. God's got verses where he's telling people he's going to make them eat their own children and put them into dung piles. And we've, you know, people stay, you know, you're not going to catch Joel Osteen talking about scriptures like that if you wait till the cows come home. But here's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28. I call it the scariest verse in the Bible. Not only was God behind the Holocaust as a means of whipping his own people, which he promised to do, but what about God's attitude while all of this was going on? Verse 62 says, "And ye shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven, or for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it." Now, who in the world could believe that God could be shouting, "Praise the Lord and amen," when Anne Frank died after writing her journal? But that's what the passage is saying. In Proverbs 1, "Then shall they call on me, but I will not answer. I'll mock when their fear cometh upon them." I mean, what kind of a God would do that? Now, I make a joke, not a joke, but I speak facetiously with my own congregation, and often remind them that the God of that Bible's got issues. Boy, does he have issues, and I say that very facetiously to my people. But the bottom line is the average Joe in the street, the average Christian, has no idea of how fearful God really is. I mean, our Heavenly Father or not, he is. We're saved, but boy, we're supposed to have an awe and a fear for him, like old-fashioned kids used to have for their daddy when America was a great nation. And they don't have that anymore. So in answer to your question about your listeners, I left the last broadcast with a suggestion that they read Ezekiel chapter 9. And it has 11 verses in it, so you got your 9-11 right there. And it's the story in the tribulation period where the Lord sends an angel down at the end of the tribulation to Jerusalem to mark the Jews on the forehead with an invisible kind of a mark, find the Jews that are sighing and crying over the sins of the Lamb. And an angel goes down, marks those Jews, comes back and reports to God. I've done what you've asked me to do. And then the Lord sends four other angels down with slaughter weapons in their hands, and they're told to destroy all those Jews in Jerusalem, except the ones with the mark on their head. That's one of the most intriguing stories about a prophetic event for the tribulation period that a Christian in the church age could hope to apply to his plight here as we're waiting for the rapture. Things are going to get real crazy with Obama. It has to get crazy because God would be mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You put a closet Hamite black Muslim into the White House to lead, you know, America, you're going to have judgment. Because, you know, if we didn't fall apart, God would be mocked. So things are going to get crazy. And we're hoping for a rapture, and we don't know when it's coming. But in the meantime, sighing and crying over the sins of America, rather than worrying about the Shopping Channel, American Idol, and all the other foolishness, would probably help to keep us safer. Like the song says, "Keep me safe till the storm passes by." And I've got 3 children and 13 grandchildren, and I've taught those principles to them through the years, and we're not a bunch of paranoid people, but we're sober-minded people, and we're trying to be
conscious. Well, we're out of time. I just say, fear God and keep his commandments.
No matter
whether you think it's fair or not, this is the way that it is, and we'll never understand God. God bless. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you real soon again.
Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland. 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Are you tired of caffeinated or high-calorie beverages? Good Life International wants you to try Glyco Tea. You'll be drinking the finest quality tea, providing you with such benefits as absorption of carbs and calories. Great for diabetics and aids you with weight loss. For pennies a day, you can boost your energy. For more information or to order GlycoT, go to www.life26.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
Take a drive down a back road somewhere, and what do you see? Farms. It's impossible to miss them. They're everywhere. Eastridge Transportation LLC in Gill reminds us that those miles of golden pastures are what brought America to its feet. The American farmer and rancher, a dependable resource. This message was brought to you by Eastridge Transportation LLC. They want you to know that they're involved in keeping our area a great place to be. Eastridge Transportation LLC, located in Gill, 330-6624.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I just stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Pastor William Grady. Now, this is not a nice message, but I believe it's a true message. We are to fear God, we are to keep His commandments, and to know that there is a plan there, and of course, God does love humanity, but certainly you cannot defy Him without bringing the wrath of God down. And I don't understand God. I have friends of mine who say, well, I'm not going to worship a God like that. I mean, I don't like this idea that He punishes people. And well, it doesn't matter what you like or what you don't like. This is what the Bible tells us. And if you look at history, it's happened time and again. And it's happening here in America, because America has turned against God. Well, with that as a background, let me simply mention that we are having our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 25th of October. That's a week from Sunday. If you can make it, why, we have to know this week, because, of course, we're closing registration the end of this week. And certainly we're serving lunch. It's going to be an all-day conference. There's going to be a lot of great information, information you have never heard before. So if you can make it on, why, of course, Dr. Catherine Albrecht will be there, William Grigg and Tom Horn talking on his latest book, Apollyon Rising as 2012. And if you haven't gone to his website, go to his website, look at the trailer, or certainly go up in the Internet, look up Apollyon Rising 2012, look at the trailer, fascinating, or the latest News with Views, Tom Horn's latest article there. You can actually go down to the bottom, you'll see the trailer there at newswithviews.com, Tom Horn's latest article. You'll certainly want to hear him, and if you can make it to our conference, why, we'd love to have you. We will have the DVDs, but they'll be many months before they're available. We'll have the CDs available, hopefully within a few weeks. Well, there's so many things going on today, and it's hard to keep up with them. We do hope that some of you will want to get the cases of our books. We're offering 60 books for $149.95 plus shipping. It will give you a weapon that you could use in reaching others and perhaps change their lives for eternity. We've got a great new 4-CD set on the swine flu epidemic, one of the greatest scams of all time. And, of course, you'll hear my interview with Wayne Mattson, an investigative reporter who's been told by key scientists that this is a man-made virus. Well, then, why would they do something like that? Who would do it and why and what this is all about? Lots of unanswered questions. Hopefully our 4-CD set will answer some of them for you. Certainly, we've got a great new 4-CD set on Vaccine Update 2009, a new CD set of financial update 2009. You have to know what's going on financially, or you're going to be destroyed like everybody else is going to be. And if you think it's wonderful that the stock market has reached, 10,000, boy, are you in for a surprise, because we're in the eye of the hurricane, and the rest of the hurricane is coming, and coming very soon. So if you have not heard my talk on the financial Armageddon, we recommend it on number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. His marriage is...